1. Ephesians chapter 1. While you are turning there, we do not have regular announcements today. We want to save enough time for each of you to be able to take part in the communion this morning. Just a reminder about the Parks family. We're gathering goods for this family from here in Bridgeport that lost their home and their belongings. And on the bulletin board, you'll see things that they need. Really anything. Anything. New or used, they could certainly use it. So make sure you consider that over the next couple weeks. And then if you are going to the Sweetheart Banquet this week, my wife is down in the Puggles class right now, but you'll be able to see her in the foyer after the service. You can get your tickets for that. And we're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to be at the Carmichael Center this year. We're going to have like a photo booth taking photos of the different couples. And you have your choice between Parmesan chicken and steak, so it should be very nice. And so I want to encourage you to come out if you haven't signed up for that yet. But today is the last day for that. Tuesday night's Bible study for the men at 7. And then next Saturday is our Outreach Saturday. And that starts at 10:30. And I'm going to say this. I'd rather you go to Outreach Saturday than to the banquet. I'd rather you come out to the Outreach Saturday than go to the banquet. So if you're going to make a choice, come out, help us minister to people. And if you want to do both, that's great. But we need help on Saturday. And then two more things for the men. On Saturday, March 4th, we're going to take one more trip down to Clendenin, where they were so heavily flooded and the devastation down there. We're going to be helping Calvary Baptist Church one more time. They're getting close to having that portion of their building that was damaged finished. So we're going to go down and try to help them. So, and maybe even this time, I'll check. It looks like there may be some painting to do. So if we have some ladies that might like to go down, that might be a possibility. But that is Saturday, March 4th. And then for our men, last year, John Fox and myself went to Washington, D.C. We met on Capitol Hill with senators and representatives, and we will be doing that again this year. It's actually the sixth year for what they call Capitol Connection. And if you would be interested in going, you go to Awake America Ministries online, and you'll find out how to go ahead and sign up for that. But that will be Monday, March 13th through Wednesday, March 15th. And I, just to be honest with you, I think God has been using that in these last several years to begin to make a little bit of a difference there. There are not very many born-again people on Capitol Hill, but there are some. There is a core group of about 20 to 30 representatives and senators who have a real walk with God, and there's over 500 there, so they're not very many, but they love the Lord, and they're trying to do the right thing. So if you would like to go with us, what we do, we go into senators and representatives' office from all 50 states, and we present them with a special gift. And we don't ask for anything. We go in there to ask them what their needs are, and we pray with them, and then it opens the door at times to be able to give the gospel to the senator or to the representative or to their staff. So if you'd be interested in that, you can look at that, and we'll say more about that here in a little while. Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, I want you to read with me, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Father, I thank you for this blessed book. I thank you that you have allowed us to be able to hold it in our own hands and read it and cherish it and benefit from it, grow from it. May you do a special work today to teach us what you'd have us to know. I ask, Lord, that our hearts would be ready for this time that we call communion. We just thank you for what you did for us on Calvary and ask, Lord, that we would never, ever forget the sacrifice that you made. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm a blessed man. I am a blessed man. I have a blessed marriage. over 31 years, and I cannot begin to tell you the blessing Debbie has been to me in these 31 plus years of marriage. She's very patient, very long-suffering. For several years of the marriage, I was not very kind to her. I'll leave it go at that, but she has always been very, very patient and kind with me, very loving to me. I'm a blessed father. I have four adult children now, and I could not have asked for better children. Praise the Lord that Chris has a desire to serve the Lord. While he is not full-time, he does work oversee our children's ministries here, and he has a heart for God. Corey has been serving in China, he and his wife, and he's been a blessing to me to see his desire to please the Lord. Think about Chelsea. Of course, you know, she's getting married in less than 2 weeks now, and just looking forward to seeing what God is going to do in her and Juan's life, and just praise the Lord that my children have gone toward people that have a love for Christ, people that want to go toward Him. And I think about Katie. Where is Katie? She's downstairs. Okay, I can go ahead and say this. I have nicknames for all my kids. She's Baby Cakes Katie. So, now you can't call her that. Only Dad can call her that. But I like what I'm seeing in her life. There's a drive that God has given her. She did very well at Pensacola Christian. She's come back. She's going to be a surgical tech. She's doing very well. So I'm a blessed father. I'm a blessed husband. And I am a blessed citizen. I live in the greatest country on the face of earth. Bar none. Despite all the junk that our nation has involved ourselves in, it is still the greatest land on the face of the earth. And I'm glad that God may be giving us a little bit of a reprieve to get our act together as Christians through the administration we have. I'm not standing here and telling you I'm a Donald Trump fan. But I believe it's far better than the alternative. And it just could be that God has given us a little bit of a reprieve to get right with Him and to begin to truly reach out and make a difference in this nation, Christian. That window may not stay open very long, but we better thank the Lord for what we have right now and begin to seek God in prayer for revival for ourselves and for our nation. But we're blessed citizens. I'm blessed with health. It may not sound quite right. I got a little bit of something, like most everyone else does. But you know what? I was able to walk from that house over to church this morning. I can use my hands to handle the Word of God. And though in the last year or so I've had to start using these things a little bit, I still have good vision. I can breathe freely. I have very little pain. I'm blessed with health. What I'm saying to you is, I'm blessed. But I'm also blessed, not only with these physical blessings, I'm blessed with spiritual blessings. You notice what he tells us here, that we have been blessed, verse 4, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now you might look at your life and say, you know what, Pastor, I feel the same way about myself. God is blessing me with my family, my health, a good job, freedom in this country. I'm a blessed man or a blessed woman. But brother, if you are born again, you have spiritual blessings too. Look at verse 4. It says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Think about this for a moment. He chose me. He wanted me. And He wanted you. Now, I stop and think about that, about what I know I am. And you may stop and think about that and say, I know what I am. Nobody knows what I do in my private life when no one else is around. No one knows what my mind thinks. No one knows in this auditorium what I've done in my past. Listen, I am amazed that Jesus Christ wanted me. But He did. And if you look back and if you're honest with yourself, you might say the same thing. Well, you know what? You may have never spent a day in a prison. You may not be guilty of what we would call the big bad crimes of murder and so forth. But listen, when we really began to examine ourselves and we look at ourselves, This is an amazing thought. He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. He wanted me. Again in verse 4, he says that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. You see, He chose me to be holy and blameless in His eyes. In other words, He wants me to be like Him. That's His design for me, to be like Him. He's imputed His righteousness to me. A verse you hear me often quote, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Here is Jesus Christ, holy and blameless, righteous, and He takes that righteousness, His holiness, and He transfers it to me. And He took my filth, my sin, my transgressions, and my iniquities, and He transferred it to Him. And on Calvary, He became sin for me, who knew no sin. You say, that's not a fair exchange. Absolutely, it's not a fair exchange. But I'll take it every time. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. So His design for me, the reason He wants me, is so I can be like Him. No second-class citizen, so I can be just like Him. And you notice at the end of verse 4, He said He did these things in love. He did these things in love. Oh, you know something. My Savior is in love with me this morning. My Savior is in love with me. Now, my wife is in love with me, and my children love me. But far better than all those relationships is the God of the universe looked down upon me, and He loved me. He's in love with me this morning. And He's in love with you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I think about Jeremiah 31:3. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with kindness have I drawn thee. You know what? It was a kind thing when God sent His Son to earth. It was a kind thing when Jesus walked the earth for 3 years of ministry and healed the sick and ministered to the poor and raised the dead. And people who were taking advantage of Him and doing what they did for the sake of getting something out of Him, the Bible says when He looked at the masses, He had compassion on them. He loved them, and He did it anyway. Even though He knew sometimes their motives was not right, He loved them anyway. Aren't you glad that despite our motives, He loves us anyway? Listen, God knows you. He knows what you did last night. He knows the thoughts you had. He knows you, but He loves you anyway. Why? Because He's in love with you. You look right across the page at chapter 2 and look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. My Savior is in love with me. And you know what? It doesn't matter. Listen, there are people here who sit in this auditorium, been devastated in a relationship. Your husband left you. Your wife left you. Your child has rejected you. Can I tell you something? Although those things are crushing, your focus needs not to be on your mate or on your child first and foremost. It needs to be on the God who loves you, is in love with you, despite you. And when we get that right, it will help us bear the burdens of broken relationships. It will help us to be able to cope. And look at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Listen, He determined long ago to adopt me. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, listen to these words. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Daddy. God said, I want you to avoid the punishment of hell. I want you to have freedom from your sin. But I want you to have much more. I want you to have heaven. But I want you to come there and know that you are my child and I love you and care for you as much as I love my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. You understand that you were born again. The moment you got saved, you were born anew, born a second time of the Spirit. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. There has to be a second birth in your life. You were born once physically, you must be born once spiritually. It is a distinct time in your life, just like your physical birth is a distinct time. You don't say, well, I was just kind of born over the course of years. No, no. There is a distinct day of birth, and there is a distinct moment of birth when you receive Christ as your Savior. You were born again. But when he talks about the adoption of sons, he is saying, in essence, I'm giving you all the rights and privileges that my Son Jesus Christ possesses. I'm not a second-class citizen. I'm not a stepchild. He loves me as much as he loves the Lord Jesus. Now, I find that hard to believe, but I must accept what he tells me in his word. I've been adopted. What a wonderful truth. He's given me all these rights and privileges of a child. And notice there in verse 5 again, he did this according to his will, according to the good pleasure of his will. He did these things according to his will with pleasure. He didn't wince when he said, I got to save Harold McRae. Oh, I don't think I want to save Harold McRae. No, he said, I want to save Harold McRae, man. I love him. And this pleases me. It pleases me. Listen, the day I got saved, back in 1976, a long time ago, he was waiting for me and wanted me. And as the Old Testament says, he drew me with cords of love. He wanted me. And I'm speaking to a group, most of you know Christ as your Savior. Listen, that was his heart toward you then. I'm blessed. Come to think of it, you're blessed. You are a blessed people today because of all that he has done. And probably my favorite phrase here is found in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And I know I've stressed this over the last few years. Let me do it again. The angel Gabriel comes and announces to Mary that she will bring forth a son. That virgin girl would bring forth a son that would be the Savior. And as he begins to speak to her, he says, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. That same terminology in that ancient language of the Greek means the exact same thing that you find here. The term that you are accepted in the beloved, listen, means that you are highly favored of God. Faith is highly favored of God. Mason is highly favored of God. Brad is highly favored of God. Grant is highly favored of God. Why? I don't know why. He just accepted us. Why does he love? I can't explain why. He just does. And I'm highly favored in his sight. Man, what a privilege. How blessed I am. I am truly a blessed man. Why? Why? Why all these spiritual blessings and many more that are not mentioned here? Well, I look at verse 7 and he tells me in whom or in him I'm first redeemed by his blood, secondly forgiven my sin, and thirdly, abounded with His grace. That's why. Because some 2,000 years ago, outside the city walls of Jerusalem, He went to a place called Golgotha, and there hung on a cross between heaven and earth. That's why. That's why I'm a blessed man this morning with all these spiritual blessings. That's why you are a blessed person this morning. Now look, a lot of you don't feel real well this morning. A lot of you have a lot of problems that you're facing. Can you put that aside for a little bit and stop to consider how blessed you are? That if you lost everything you have in the physical realm, you would still be a blessed person. You would still be a blessed person. If you lost your home like the Parks family did, if you lost your family like the Coleman boys did, you would still be a blessed man or woman. Amen. What spiritual blessings He's given to us. And all because of what He did on Calvary. I'm truly a blessed man because He redeemed me with His own blood. Look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. He's bought me. And that's what the word redeem means. He paid a ransom price to buy me. Titus 2:14 says, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to Himself a peculiar people or a special people, zealous of good works. He redeemed me. Notice what He redeemed me from. All iniquity. He didn't redeem me from some of my sins. He redeemed me from all of it. All of it. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. The moment that Roman cross was raised between heaven and earth was the moment that Jesus Christ was cursed. He was cursed for me. Think about that. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says He became sin. Galatians 3:13 says He became a curse. Brother, He did that for you. He did that for you and me. Cursed and sin for you and me. He redeemed us that moment on Calvary from that curse of the law. You see, when I cannot fulfill the law in perfection, that's what James chapter 2, 10 says, if we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we are guilty of all. That's news for some of you here. You say, I'm a pretty good person. I don't do too much wrong. But if you're honest with yourself, you must admit, I've sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, I'm not like some of those people that you may be referring to, Pastor. I'm a pretty good person, but all have sinned, and we've all broke at least one point of the law. And James said, if you've broken one point of the law, you are guilty of it all. You need a Savior. And I'm glad God looked down at me, and He saved me. He did so by buying me from the bondage of sin, purchasing me back from Satan. I'm redeemed from all iniquity. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. And I am redeemed, now this is good, eternally. Hebrews 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He did not save you to give you a partial salvation. What He gave you is eternal life. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I've been given eternal life. The end of John 3:16 says that He gives us everlasting life. It's not something that can be lost. It's something that He chose to give in His way, and that's His way, eternal. He bought that for us. I'm redeemed eternally by His blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, John said, cleanses us from all sin. Paul said in Romans 5, 9, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Revelation 1, 5, the last part of that verse says, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. There's not a person here that will ever get to heaven without being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ redeems you, buys you from that curse, buys you back from all iniquity, buys you back from your arch enemy Satan. The blood of Christ. Let me ask you a question. Has there been a moment in your life where you came to the understanding that in order for you to have this eternal life, that you had to be washed in the blood of His Son? That's what the gift of God is. That He went to Calvary and shed His blood so that that blood could clean away our sin. That's what He did. And He said, now I offer this to you as a gift. I will take away your sin. I will forgive your sin. I will remove your sin if you'll just apply my blood to your life. Has there ever been that point in your life? I'm not asking you if you're a good Baptist. I'm not asking you when you joined the church. I'm not asking you if you keep the Ten Commandments, or at least strive to do so. I'm asking you, has the blood of Jesus Christ ever been applied to your life? And you have come to be purchased by Him and given that life eternal. Oh, listen, I'm a blessed man today. Why? Because I have redemption through His blood. And I'm a blessed man this morning. And what you notice, the second phrase of verse 7. Because of the forgiveness of sins. You see, He not only redeemed me by His blood, but He forgave me from all my sin. He bought me, and maybe His own, and in that process, He removed my sin as far as the east is from the west. Psalm 103:12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Scientifically, I don't understand it, but they say east and west continually go further and further apart. There's a reason why He described it that way. He didn't say as far as the north is from the south. No, as far as the east is from the west. Continually distance itself from one another. He said, that is what I've done for you. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened, and that means to make you alive, hath He quickened together with Him, having, I love this, having forgiven you all trespasses. There are people in this auditorium who struggle to forgive yourself over some things that you've done in the past. Why are you struggling? If He forgave you, then forgive yourself. If He forgave you, forgive yourself. If He doesn't hold it over you, if He doesn't look at it any longer, why should you? Our sins and iniquities will He remember no more, we're told, both in the Old and New Testament, the book of Hebrews especially. If He won't remember them, why should I remember the things I've done in my past? Put them aside. Don't be a martyr. Don't be a martyr. Put those things aside and rest in the truth that you are forgiven and your sins are forgotten. 1 John 2:12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. Now listen to this. For His name's sake. You see, His name, His reputation is at stake. And He said, I have forgiven you, so you need to forgive yourself. And you need to go forward. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Oh, but He did. He knew. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. He knew. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He knew. He knew. And if he can forgive you, then you can forgive yourself. If he can put it away and forget it, then we need to do the same. Romans 4:7. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. You know what? There's some of us that act like we've got to wait till we get into eternity to find out whether we're really forgiven or not. Can I tell you that's a fallacy? He's already done this. It's a done work. And all you have to do is believe him. He said, a lot of us have not entered into rest in our souls. Why? Because we just failed to believe what he said. And you are slapping God in his face every time you say, I just don't know if you really forgave me. I just don't know if you can really forgive this. It's like you slap God in the face. God, you're not as strong as you said you were. God, you're not truthful like you claim to be. God, I don't believe you. I'm glad that when a person gets saved, they only have to have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed. Because that's sometimes where our faith begins and where it will end before we get into eternity. And God said, I want you to grow in faith as well as in my grace. And believe me more and more. And I've just come to the point in my life where I say, I'm just going to accept what he says. Leave it go at that. Do I got a lot of things in my past that I regret? You better believe it. And I think there's a lot of people in this room have things you regret too. It's gone, brother. It's under the blood. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. I don't need to worry about those things anymore. Nor do you. You see, I'm a blessed man. I'm redeemed by the blood. I'm a blessed man. I've been forgiven. And one other thing this morning. Look at the end of verse 7. According to the riches of his grace. You see, he not only gave me redemption and gave me forgiveness, but he gave me his grace. He gave me his grace. I don't know if you listened carefully to the words that Delcy sang, but that's what he did. His grace is abundant in our life. What is grace? Well, probably the most famous of the terminologies for grace is just two simple words, unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. You realize God favors you? That's why he saved you. You realize God favors you? That's why if you're not born again, he wants you. Because he favors you. I've been given redemption and his forgiveness all because he favored me. You are looking at a man that God favors. Am I worthy of it? Absolutely not. But will I take it? You bet. Look at chapter 2 once again, beginning in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, by his unmerited favor, are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith. What a blessing. I'm a blessed man this morning. I'm the recipient of the exceeding riches of his grace. I'm the recipient of his forgiveness. I'm the recipient of his redeeming power. And I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm a child of God. Not because I'm a Baptist. Not because I'm a pastor. Not because I think I'm a good citizen or a good dad or any of that stuff. I am on my way to heaven. All because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. I'm a blessed man. Let me ask you a question. Are you blessed? Has there ever been a moment in your life where you have turned your life to him and allowed him to come in and purchase you with his blood and forgive your sin and just pour his grace into your life? It's a moment called salvation. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Has there been that moment in your life where you have allowed him to become your Savior? If not, he wants to bless you. And he will if you'll turn yourself over to him. I'd like you to bow your heads for prayer. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I've asked Sarah Vismans to come and sing a song she sang when Dr. Jenkins was here about being blessed. And while she sings this song, I want you this morning to use this altar. Maybe you just want to come and say, God, I'm blessed and I want to thank you for blessing me with this life you've given me. But maybe there's a chance that somebody is here that does not know Christ and you'd like to come and receive him today. We'd be glad to have somebody take the scripture and take you to the side so that you can have that opportunity to receive him as your own.